Florida International University professor Dr. Eileen Marty is on the World Health Organization Advisory Group on Mass Gatherings. And Dr. Marty, are you ready to advise us today?
Always ready to help you out, Bob.
Appreciate that. Big story around here. City-operated vaccination sites will begin offering Pfizer vaccines to kids between 12 and 15 today. What do you say to parents who don't want to get the vaccine for their kids because they feel kids don't get as sick as adults?
Okay, so there's a lot of very interesting data that has to be taken into consideration. And in fact, we had a big meeting about this. We have this, the Eagles group, which is a group of first responders, physicians throughout the world, looking at very carefully at these types of data. And we reviewed the data on the Pfizer vaccine in the 12 to 15 year old group and compared it to the risks from disease in those children and the types of disease that some children get. It is, of course, we all know, true that young children have done very well overall with managing the infection. But there have also been over 200 deaths in children because of COVID-19, acute COVID, and on top of that, the multisystem inflammatory syndrome. Let's then look at, so risk exists, and we have absolutely no idea what the long-term risk from having had COVID are for children or anybody else, since this has only been around for a year and a half, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't really know. So when you take those things into consideration and you look at what actually happened with the study, one of the things that's fascinating, Bob, is that among the people, the kids who wound up getting a placebo, so basically salt water instead of getting the actual vaccine, there were children who had natural infection, and that was also true among the children who did get the vaccine. None of the children who got the vaccine had COVID after being fully vaccinated. All the cases of COVID were in the children who did not get the vaccine, who were in the placebo group. That's really important. That's why you're hearing 100% efficacy. But what's really interesting is that among the children who got COVID, who were in the placebo group, were children who had the infection before. Mm. So in other words, their natural immunity did not protect them from getting COVID again. Whereas the children who had COVID or didn't have COVID but got the vaccine were protected. And that's really, really important. That's showing, again, that the quality of the immunity that you get from the vaccine is far better than the quality of the immunity that people end up getting if they had the natural infection. That's one of the really interesting findings from the study that Pfizer did. And also, of course, if you look at the side effects from having had the vaccine, they're virtually insignificant. There's no difference in terms of side effects for children in that 12 to 15 group as there were from individuals in the 16 to 28 year group. So the upshot is it's much safer and a much better plan to avoid getting the natural infection and to get the vaccine in that age group.
That is a good message. I hope everybody takes to heart. Where do you stand on this controversy with the CDC? They say unvaccinated people should wear masks in most outdoor settings. Vaccinated people should wear them at large public venues. Summer camps should require kids to wear masks virtually at all times. And tell me if I'm wrong here. There is not a single documented COVID infection anywhere in the world from casual outdoor interactions like walking past someone on the street or eating at a nearby table. Do I have that right?
Well, there's first of all, it's really hard to make those kinds of studies because it's hard enough to figure out anytime we do contact tracing where any given individual gets infected. And it's so the overwhelming data that we do have that is reliable does in fact show that indoor spaces, crowded places, are the most risky. So that's one way in which we can definitely say that it looks like the outdoors is safer than the indoors, right? Mm-hmm. There's that. And then there's reason and logic, which is outdoors, you know, you have the best possible ventilation. It's going to reduce that viral load, which is really, really significant. They're erring on the side of caution, Bob. They're erring in the side of caution because this is a new disease, and we continue to find new aspects of the way that this thing seems to spread. But if you look at what happened in India, some of their, and we know how out of control that is right now, some of the super spreader events that led to this massive rise in cases were large outdoor events. Right. And we know from previous studies with other viruses, for example, measles, that, that large, crowded in outdoor events can also, you know, spread that disease very effectively. So in India, large outdoor events that were highly crowded led to super spreader events. And so there's a real consideration here. One of the things that people don't remember, is that this virus, the SARS-2 virus, is a big virus for an RNA virus. It's really big, and it has the ability to proofread. A virus like that shouldn't have as many variants as we're seeing. It shouldn't be evolving at this rate. The reason that it is because we're allowing it to transmit. So one of the things that they're trying to counter in their CDC guidelines, Bob, isn't just another case per se, but because another case facilitates evolution of the virus to possibly another variant of concern. And the hope was that if we could really keep transmission down, we could actually have all the tools in place to prevent not just a current problem, but a future problem by not allowing the formation of more dangerous and potentially highly concerning variants.
Mm-hmm. And that's what happened in the pandemic of 1918, right? They had a first wave that was no deadlier than the ordinary flu. That went away, but then they had a more contagious and lethal variant, and that was the second wave, and that disappeared. Then they had a third wave, very deadly. So we should learn from history, shouldn't we?
Well, that would be a really good idea to learn from history.
Yeah, I'll say. In the UK, next week, they've just announced they're going to give residents the green light to resume cautious hugging. Will you be doing any of that, Dr. Marty?
I have to say that I've already been doing a little bit of cautious hugging. So long as the person I'm hugging is known to me to be vaccinated and I'm vaccinated. So cautious hugging is I think, a wise next step in the right setting.
Well, a virtual hug from me to you for good information again today. And have a good one, Dr. Marty. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, Bob.